Yeah, this one finally swam away. We were watching it with the light, but it definitely wasn't handled like an expert, but it's the first one. I didn't realize how sharp they were, so that kind of like messed me up a little bit. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, them little ones are hard to handle. You could probably grab their tail and then put your hand underneath their two pectoral fins. You might not get ripped up, but yeah, I think there's sharp. I forgot about that. You got definitely, I usually get the rubber coated gloves. You'll see them a lot of times at a gas station and stuff. They do pretty good.
Cool, it uploaded the telegram.
Oh yeah, he's good. He's swimming. Even though he's at the top, he's swimming. So a lot of times he'll go belly up, and then you gotta worry about him. But he's swimming. That's cool, man. Yeah, you are in a low current. I mean, I could tell there's a current, but it's pretty slow. It's interesting. You must have some kind of a current break in front of you, either from the hole or from a curve.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be a little stronger, but it's definitely not that bad. I mean, you can't walk the weight back very far, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I've seen a fish fly floating in that video too, and I actually had I had real bright lights on my big boat, and all the fish flies are falling in the water. And I had a big sturgeon, probably about 60, 65 inches, come up to the top of the water and turn sideways and eat a fish fly. So they could be doing that too. The ones you're hearing at the top that are, kerplunking.
Yeah, I hope I don't see him eating a fly. I may have to bring my fly rod out here.
I don't think they'd do it on a regular basis, but if I wouldn't have seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe that a sturgeon would eat fish flies off the top, but they do. WHCPT.
So the smaller fish jumping, they're not sturgeon, I don't know what they are. I was able to get light on one, and its eye was, like, red. But the shape of the fish looked strange to me.
Asian carp burn in there.
Yeah, it wasn't like a carp-looking fish. It was a little bit longer. With the way the eye was lighting up, I'm like, yeah, maybe it's a walleye, but I don't know any walleye with a red eye. So it was a little bit strange. I couldn't get to the net because it did come next to my boat. But, yeah, I'm going to keep an eye out for him.
It might be smallmouth bass. They got red eyes sometimes, or rock bass even. If there's enough of them fish flies, they're hatching and they're eating them.
Yeah, that's right. Smallmouth do have red eyes. That's what it could be. I'll have to keep an eye out for it as they're jumping. See if I can get my light on another one.
If you get a chance, zoom in where you're at a little bit closer, but try to still show like the whole channel and send me a picture. I'm curious where you're at that it's that slow, but I want to see the, zoomed in a little bit more to see if there's like a current break. Are you like around a small corner or something?
Basically, I'm probably 50 yards from the no wake, the start of the no wake. Whoa, that was a big one.
That's awesome. I could tell. I heard one of your kids first. Was it behind the boat? Hopefully it was.
No, it was in front of the boat. Probably over my anchor.
Okay, so you're downstream of that first no-wake buoy then?
Yeah, basically I drove through the no-wake zone. What I'll do is I'll turn on Google Map and I'll text you my GPS coordinates.
Okay, so you're downstream of the downstream no-wake buoy then?
Yeah, just downstream. And this is a spot you marked. You put it in my GPS the day you came over.
Okay, cool. I'm looking at the map you sent me, and I kind of got an idea, but I don't. That's why, yeah, do that with the Google Maps just to give me an idea. Just make sure you don't put it visible on Google Maps. Make sure if you save it on Google Maps, you save it for yourself only, private, make it private.
All right, I pulled the coordinates off of OnX. That's what I texted you.
Okay, so, yeah, all right. Yeah, I think that buoy you're at the beginning of the no-wake. If you go downstream, there'll be another one. You see how it's dark on that picture you just sent me? That's all, like, swamp area. That's where that dude in the pontoon boat went in there and got stuck.
Oh yeah, I was down this way last year during the day, and I learned real quick, don't go over there. I wasn't paying attention. I was like, oh boy, need to get out of here.
Yeah, and if you go upstream, back, you know, back the way you're going, if you turn to the left and go down the north channel, real close. Pretty far out from shore there, actually. It's really shallow there, too. So, in that spot, I'll always go out around that buoy. I think there's a red buoy blink in there or something. If I'm going to go downstream in the north channel, I'll go around that buoy and get out toward the middle of the channel, especially at night, because it's really shallow. I was on plane once, and I cut that corner, and it was bad. I slowed right down, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, out here at night, I take my time. I just watch the GPS close, and definitely not in a hurry. And these boats that keep coming by, I mean, they're doing 40 miles an hour. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you're pretty much in the right spot, too, where, you might just be a little bit closer in the shore, and that's why it's a little bit slower, but that's not a bad thing, because that means you're in a current where you can, and there'll be a lot of bait fish and stuff gathering up at the bottom down there. So, cool. Yeah, I think that's the beginning of the no-wake, so everybody that's going downstream should, like 30 to 25 foot, should be slowing down when they get to that buoy. And if they're going upstream, they should be going slow until they get to you.
Well, when I was coming in, I passed the blinking buoy, and there was a boat coming upstream by the light that's blinking in front of me now, and he slowed right down when he went through here. So I feel like this is like I'm just outside of it. Because I drove past a blinking buoy when I was coming downstream, and then this was the second one that I drove to.
Yeah, but was that first blinking one, like, in the north channel, or right near it?
No, it was in the middle. It was definitely in the middle channel. And I don't even see the buoys. It isn't even marked on my maps here, on my GPS for some reason.
Yeah, them no-wake buoys, I don't think they are on there. And they're usually not lit either, so if there's something lit on them now, that's actually a plus, because normally you'd just be looking for them if you know they're there and you hope you don't bump into them. I don't think it would do much damage because they're just like a floating beach ball or something, but still.
Yeah, I don't know. Thinking about heading over to the North Channel. See if I can't get in over by the boat launch there, try for a little bit, and then duck out of here. I've probably got about another hour left in me, that's about it.
Yeah, it's hard to say how many people will still be out there. A lot of people know it's a nighttime deal and they stay out late, but if someone's in that spot that I was telling you about where that white bench is, you can always, when you go straight out of the boat launch and you got that big drop off real quick, go upstream of the boat launch just a little bit and stay on the deeper side of that drop off, and I've done pretty good there too.
Man, it's crazy the speed these boats are driving down this channel. It's nuts.
Oh yeah, yeah. And if they're fishermen, then usually, you know, they know what they're doing. And you can see because there's a full moon. But the ones that scare me are the ones that were out partying all day. And they think they're sober enough to head back in now, and they're not. And a lot of those bigger boats have autopilot, and they can backtrack. So they'll put it in autopilot backtrack to get home, and they don't realize that there might be somebody anchored that wasn't there when they went out, you know. You're not answering. I hope you got one of them.
Sorry, the boat's so loud, I didn't hear anything. KEAT-FM. I'm uploading a short clip of it on Telegram.
Ah, bummer. I thought you didn't answer because you were grabbing a rod.
Any cigarette boats, they have the, the exhaust that's not through the water, you know, and it's loud as can be until they're completely around the corner.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. Those things, I don't know if I could ride in one all day with them being that loud unless the sound is not as bad in the boat because, you know, it's behind you.
I got my skipper's checking dates now. Make sure everything's good. I'll be back, we just caught a sucker.
Alright. Sometimes we'll cut them up and use them as bait, but it might work, it might not.
Alright, well that was exciting. KEAT-FM.
Alright. Yeah, you're gonna have a hard time getting a big one in the boat. You might have to just grab a hold of its tail and take the hook out. I know I grab the tail sometimes and lift them in the boat, but yeah, I can't believe in that bro. That's crazy. Good job, guys.
No, that was it looked ridiculous, but we just got the sucker, and as we were letting the sucker go, that line took off, and it was really fighting. This one definitely put up a good fight. He kept running on us, and for Colton and Davey and each boat of the sturgeon, that was pretty awesome. And then the sucker, we didn't even know we had. We were just checking bait, and it happened to be on the line.
Yeah, sometimes a sturgeon will do that too. They'll pick up the bait and they'll have it in their mouth and the hook will get stuck and they just sit there. And then when they move upstream, it looks like maybe, you know, you're just getting little nibbles or something, and actually you've actually got the sturgeon on there and he's already hooked. Sometimes they don't take off right away.
Yeah, each time they were on, they were kind of pulling the line, and I just let them chew on it a little bit and gave it a good tug, and yeah, that was it. These hooks are awesome that he gave me. I mean, those things, they set like no problem.
Yep, I try to recommend them to everybody, and a lot of people think the circle hooks are better, and they're not, man. The way that sturgeon's mouth is, man, you need the shape of them. Those are called keel hooks. I don't know if the bait shop's still open, but if you go through Algonac past the boardwalk, there's a bait shop on the right, down a little bit past the boardwalk. Minix, maybe it was called. I'm not 100% sure on the name. He used to sell them hooks for 25 cents a piece, so if you need more of them, that's where I was getting them.
Yeah, I definitely got to find more of those, because those are definitely nice hooks. I mean, you can tell that they set with no problem.
Yeah, I think I might order them, too, from Amazon or somewhere else. I still got quite a few of them. I'll have to look at my tackle box if you need more, because I had a whole bunch of them. I just don't remember if I got a bunch left or if I was getting low and needed to make another order. But anyway, no, that's cool, man. You get a big one, you guys are going to be shocked if you thought that one fought. Pretty good. Wait till you get one of those bigger ones, man. You'll be fighting for about 10 or 15 minutes.
I'll be back. We might have another one here. I gotta check the bait.
You better allow boat again. WACTT.
Nah, we might have some fish. I gotta check some bait. I'll be right back.
Alright, I'm gonna hang out until you answer me and let me know what you got, and then I'm probably gonna go to sleep, but I'll wait for you to come back. WACTT.
All right, KEATFM, another sheep head.
All right, you're definitely in an active spot, that's for sure. All right, I'll probably be awake for a little bit, dozing off. I'll keep checking my phone, but I'm going to try to get some sleep. I was looking at the weather, and it might be okay tomorrow night. I'll have to wait till tomorrow and see, but I don't know what you're doing, but... I definitely want to get out there one of these. If I wasn't so tired, man, I've been sitting here the whole time thinking, man, I probably could have made it, but I don't know if I would have been able to drive back. But anyway, we'll get out one of these days.
Yeah, if the weather is good tomorrow, I could easily get talked into going out again, especially after the success here tonight. All right. Yeah, we still got them jumping next to us. We had a big one again just surfaced, so we're gonna wait until this last dozen worms are gone, and then we're gonna call it probably about another hour. Or so, all right, man, take it easy. KEATFM.
All right, I'll keep an eye on my phone until I doze off. Send me a picture if you get another one. Good job, guys. I'll catch you later. WACTT.
KFABTI testing.
The
W1KAL, listening. W8CPT, KF8S.
Whiskey 8, Golf India Oscar.
KE8MCH Mobile.
KFA-DTI monitoring. KFA-DTI with Patrick.
Hi.
Monitoring.
KFA BPI, KKF 6J.
This is KFA BPI. Go ahead, KK6J.
Yeah, your modulation seems a bit down. I'm not sure what we got going on here. I'm on an external now. Should be a lot better, but you know, I think that repeater that you're working with is on a pretty high tower and is closer to you.
You're done with the repeater?
Yeah, you're really way down. You're hardly making it through the repeater there.
Okay, that actually makes sense because I'm actually really far away from the repeater compared to you. I'm up in Carroll right now.
Let's try that one. This is KK6J, clear.
KFA-DOT monitoring.
Delta Oscar November, standing by Michigan Section ARFDLC.
This is Kilo Delta 8 Romeo Hotel Bravo. Alright, good man. I got a good copy. I need just a little bit of noise, but good copy.
Yeah, not a high noise source.
Otherwise,
Delta Oscar November, standing by Michigan Junction, Delta Oscar November, standing by Michigan Section ELPS CNET. Thank you. Oscar 382, Great Delta, Oscar November, standing by Michigan Section 8RPLCS.
November 8, Sierra Bravo Echo.
November 8, Sierra Bravo Echo. I believe you got you in there, sir.
KSA BPI, KK6J.
Last station calling, can you repeat your call time, please?
Yeah, they're under the KK6J. They probably don't realize that there's an APRS CNET going on, and it'll be you.
Alaska November, standing by Michigan section of the RPL 29.
KW5AR.
Thank you.
Tuesday, REM, we let us have our office down, and
Skywarn meeting in the EOC, and we went through the radio room and went through how everything works in the EOC. We had a good group of folks there, so that was pretty good. And then just to echo what you said, looking forward to the Fermi exercise on Tuesday. And then SEMA Region 5Net this upcoming Sunday, or next week Sunday, and the Windlink exercise. So those of you that copy NCS, that was Max's comment. I don't have anything else. I'll give it back to you, Max. This is KDRHB.
All right, KDRHB, KDAPO, thank you for the comment, and we will look forward to seeing you on Tuesday. I'm going to have to look at CJ Hoffman's draft, see what this is all about. Next, we'll go to N8SBE, and this is followed by KW5AS. David, what's happening your way?
Yeah, this is N8SBE, and I can say your signal, DON, has gone completely from completely unreadable to being like over 5.9, and I think there's a tremendous amount of USB on 80 today. I've been copying almost all the other stations okay, but I mean, it's very interesting listening to what's going on here. A whole lot going on this end. We've got... they've essentially been tearing up all the streets of the neighborhood, redoing all the concrete corner pieces and so on and so forth. So during the week here, from about 7 a.m. to about 4 p.m., it's just a ton of noise with the concrete trucks and the shovels and everything else going on. So the only peace that we get in the neighborhood here now is on the weekends. But this too shall pass, as they say. So back to that, NADSBE.
All right, I'm going to go to DEKEATLM, which is actually yeah, your signals are awesome, and you said it got light and came up. I don't know if you quite turned on the amp or if the band's just shifted around there. Yeah, as far as the noise in the neighborhood goes, I totally feel your pain. Construction workers are some home improvement work going on around the house here for the last several weeks. Starting on the roof, working with the siding, and I've got a major rebuilding the porch. And no shortage of pounding and scratch and all sorts of things out there. We make a lot of noise in the neighborhood. I don't know, you said those two shall pass and we'll look better when it's done. It really looks great. Mike, and he'll get you on the list with all of the information. after the exercise. If you can get that, send me a note after November, and I'll be glad to help you out there. Through your neighborhood in a couple of weeks. We're heading over to Door County and for a week's vacation, so we'll look for a little all right, next up at UC-8, Tango Kilo Lima, Jay, and that'll bring us to the bottom of the roster. WBA, PKL, you're up for comments.
Bravo Lima, Tango Kilo Lima, name is Jay. I'm located in Ypsilanti Township. The band is briefly coming out of that disappearing, but just here back handed over. Well, you know, we realize that the world we live in is oftentimes a house of cards, and the recent file update, the CrowdStrike, certainly proved that to be the case with a worldwide outage of many, many systems. When that occurred, I was quite happy that the grid remained up, albeit I'm not dependent upon the grid, and I was off-grid at the time. Also, not dependent on the community water system. Just the flip of a couple of ball valves, completely off of that, and run on my own system. So my own stored water supply. So prepare to not be dependent upon anybody else, the better off you are, hi. So CrowdStrike did not affect anything that I was in need of, so it was pretty much painless here. This Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be down in Dayton for the Corvair Society of America Corvair Convention. Hope to go and pick up some parts to move my 1964 Corvair Greenbrier van a little bit further towards having a power plant that actually is dependable, and I can turn the key and have that thing push me around town without any worries. But I am getting closer to that. That is going to practice on a back burner for about 4 to 5 years. And hopefully get that going again and maybe actually complete it before the snow flies. Hi. But because I'll be down in Dayton and Wednesday, will not be around for the firming exercise, but usually it goes on for three or four different permits sessions. I'm not sure if the one on Tuesday is the final and main one or not, or if that's just the first of many. I had a fellow ham who was going to come over and get up on the roof and help rewire some solar panels into a series string. That ended up getting curtailed when he discovered that his longtime and very old cat has passed away this afternoon. So we are delaying that project for probably the end of the week or this coming weekend. But that will greatly enhance our ability to continue to be off-grid, even when the clouds start rolling in during the fall and winter months. That's about it from here, WBATKL.
All right, WBATKL, KUBN, Michigan Section PRCNet. Well, thank you for the comments. I hope you have great travels this week down to Dayton, and do enjoy the Corvair show. All right, we'll take this to the bottom of the roster, and we'll take a call and stand by here and see if there's anybody else who would like to join in this conversation. If so, please call now.
Kilo 8 is 3 Bravo Delta.
KABD, that's you, my sir. Anybody else, please call. Any relays? All right, KABD, over to you, sir, for comments.
KATLM, KABD, thanks very much for running the net. And good evening, good afternoon to the folks on the net. Thank you, Tim. I'm the CRO for Washtenaw County. There's not too much sort of happening around here. Subdivision at end, we've been slowly replacing the roads over time. Better than the time, half mile or so at a piece So I just got finished replacing wall films. The board that sort of ramrods a lot of that stuff. So nice thing about ours is we bring in a pulverizer and it just literally pounds it into dust and helps to make the road bed a lot better for the next two layers of asphalt. But it is one of those things that will round you out of bed in the morning. Other than that, not too much going on the radio front here. We work Furman drills as I can. However, on August 27th, which is the one that the federal would evaluate, I will be activating the Washtenaw County POC, or at least the amateur portion of that, in support of that. Other than that, not too much going on with that. Hope everybody's had a great weekend, and with that, I'll say back to that control. This is KHGDD.
All right, Jim, KHGDD, KHGDD, this is a section here at TLCNET. Well, we'll look forward to being here during the upcoming drills and exercises, actually the evaluated exercise on the team in August, and Hi, Larry here. Your comment on road construction just reminded me of a thing, is that there are two seasons in Michigan. Winter and road construction. So it is that time of year. Boy, the orange cones are all in bloom. All right, this is KEDY, Michigan Section PLC Net. We're at the bottom of the roster again. I'll play one more call and see if anyone else would like to join. Please call. Hearing none, we had seven check-ins and 17 minutes on the air. I want to thank everybody for joining in today. It's good to hear from you. And have a great week ahead. Stay warm or cool or whichever way the weather tends to turn on us, and stay dry as well. This is the Parade Delta Oscars. I'm just going to be discussing the net and continuing on.
Thank you once again. Everybody have a wonderful week. I need OVU clearing the remote.
BLX monitoring.
Unbelievable. It's got you out, up and about so late.
I am just enjoying the last nip of improper 12.
after a long and busy day and getting ready for a busy week. Sitting outside and enjoying the outside.
There you go. Sounds like a good plan. So I take it the rain hasn't started. I heard there's going to be rain.
I have not looked. It's not here. I have not looked at the radar. It's about, I would say, 60% clear and 40% cloudy here. And certainly not enough definition of clouds for rain. So, nope. No rain. Not much wind of it to speak of at all. It's about dead still here.
Well, I don't know if my news of rain was a reliable source or not, so, but I decided to cut the grass because of it, just in case. Anywho, I was going to hit the bed pretty soon, but I might get a nip myself, no proper 12, but who knows what awaits.
Well, there was just a very small amount of the Jameson triple left in the bottle. So that got taken care of earlier in the evening, and I was about done. And I thought, you know, it's nice out here, I got time for a little bit more, so I went to the proper 12. Just as half a nightcap, you know.
Well, a couple of fingers of 1792 is on the rocks, because that was fast and easy.
My, that was very fast. Anyway, busy day. Visited Mom this morning, and had a client appointment around noon, and then had a little social thing at the house here this afternoon, early evening. And then a little bit of work after that, catching up on some stuff today. Got out here a little late, but it's really nice out here. It's cool. Got a little fan going on the patio here just to kind of keep the bugs down a little. And it's really nice out. So if it is raining, if it is going to rain, you know, so be it, but it's nice so far.
It's nice now, that's what counts. What else happened? Anything? You haven't heard a whole lot from anybody this weekend. So, it was kind of quiet around here. You know, there was not much radio-wise going on. Wasn't there a RIDI contest, I think?
Yeah, so Saturday was the North American QSO Party RIDI. So that's, all domestic stuff, U.S., Canada, limited to low power. But that's a pretty busy contest. So that was yesterday. And then I guess this weekend, yesterday and some of today was the CQ Worldwide CHF, so it's just 6 meters and 2 meters. And my understanding was that was kind of a bust. A number of people I know, got on for some time yesterday and today on 6 and 2 meters and basically said, yeah, I worked 3 guys, 10 guys, 12 guys, 4 guys, was very little, if any, enhanced propagation and not a lot of activity on CW and sideband. So that was kind of a bust. A lot of the VHF contests have just turned into FT8 events and not much else.
That is sad. I don't begrudge FT8. I'm not a hater, but when that's the only place there's activity at the expense of everything else, it's like, man, something's got to change there.
I don't disagree. While I'm not an FT8 enthusiast myself,
you know, the reality is that that works really well on you know, the weak signal VHF and UHF stuff. So it is popular there for a reason. And the VHF contests, the ARRL ones and the CQ ones and various other ones, you know, for years and years, you know, the rule is, you know, you can make a QSO, you know, per station, you know, one per band. And any mode went, you could do it on sideband, you could do it on CW, you could do it on RIDI. It didn't really matter, as long as you make the contact on that band. And then with the advent of PSK31 and then eventually FT8, particularly with FT8's ease of getting grid square into the you know, QSO, you know, it kind of became the de facto standard. So, you know, the ARRL contests have made a analog-only category, you know, for CW sideband only. And that attracts a handful of people, but not really enough to make it a, you know, it's not enough of those stations out there to work each other to really make it fun. And CQ has apparently not done that, so it's still any mode goes, which is, you know, by default FT8. So I was not able to get on, again, busy weekend, so maybe next year.
Man, I had a little coughing smell there. And anyhow, well, no radio here. Didn't turn on any of the rigs. The 705 was on for a little bit, but it was not doing a whole lot. I got antenna work I got to do. I thought about doing that today. Instead, I cut the grass, so I was responsible.
I should cut the grass soon. Probably did not need to do it today or yesterday, so I've got a few days to go. And if it's going to be nice, maybe tomorrow evening or the next, I'll get to it. Yeah, today would have been a good day for that kind of work. Nice and warm and clear and anyway. But, you know, you get an extra few dB when you put that antenna up in a snowstorm or, you know, with a thunderstorm coming and you're racing against time. Always get an extra couple of dB out of that antenna.
Yep, I still got to get the fan dipole down and get those spreaders on there. You know, it works pretty well on 80 and 40. And it's acceptable on 20, but like I told you, it's got that funky kind of thing going on because I think I got some wrapped legs, which the spurs would take care of. So I really mean to do that. That should be high on my agenda. I think I'll put that on my agenda of things to do. So, but anywho, 792 is a good idea. Good thinking.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good time to do it. I've not been on HF a ton. Checked in the logbook of the world a few times here and there, but now that it's back up and there's a few things trickling in, and obviously I had a handful of good 6-meter stuff that I added in, but I haven't checked in several days to see if anything else has trickled in. A lot to do then. But yeah, busy work day tomorrow, and kind of the next day, too. We'll see what, I don't recall if I have anything on the calendar for Wednesday. I like to try to take Wednesday off if I can. If there's a day during the week that I can get off and not go in the office and just kind of chill and check my email just a couple times a day, Wednesday tends to be that day. We'll see if that happens this week.
Okay, on another note, something came up at breakfast yesterday. Do you remember Paul, AA8OZ? I know you get on CW and that quite a bit. Have you heard of him passing?
I I've not. I do remember Paul. I did not know him well, but I knew of him. And no, I have. If that's true, I'm sad, but no, I'm not aware of that.
No one seemed to know for sure. They said his license expired and didn't get renewed, and no one's gotten a hold of him, so they're kind of wondering. So I know he did mostly QRP, CW. That was his big thing. Did a lot of it, so I figured you'd have bounced into him a few times. But anywho, I just wondering if anybody'd heard anything. It was a topic of discussion.
No, I do not recall. Oh, I think I ran into him a few times. I remember his old call was KA8KDE. He had that call for many years, and then he was, of course, KA8OZ, which he was for many, many years also. But no, I don't know. I know he lived in Ferndale for the longest time. I don't know if he moved, what his most recent status was, but hope he's okay. And if not, well, again, that's sad, but nope, not aware.
Yeah, I'm looking at his QRZ page now. KAKDE previous. I thought he was EOD, elephants on drugs. I remember hearing that. Maybe that was somebody else. Anyhow, it says his license expired in February 22nd, 2024. So, you know, that's long enough ago that makes you wonder. So, alright, anyhow, that was all. Enough on that. Did you hear anything?
I will keep an ear out. I recall that he was semi-regular on the CRF net on 75 meters in the mornings. And I have not paid much attention to that in a couple of years, but I don't know if any of those guys are breakfast guys, but they may know of him, be aware of his situation. But yep, that's fine. Hopefully he's okay, and if not, I'm sad. I had a burning question. I forgot it was, darn it. It's something to do with spreaders. I think I remember what it was.
Do tell.
So as I recall, the spreaders that you got, that you had printed for you, were closed loop, so they had to slip on the ends of the wire, and then you did something with it. And I was thinking in my head about a variation of that that had, you know, kind of a couple of gaps or slits cut in, so that you could add them on after the fact. You wouldn't have to slip them over the wire. You wouldn't have to slip them on the end of the wire. You could slip them, you know, on a pre-existing, you know, pre-installed antenna, you know, by kind of fashioning it back and forth a little bit. Again, in my head, I kind of have it designed, but I was wondering if that was something that could be discussed. I wouldn't mind adding some spreaders to one antenna I have and another, but slipping over the ends is going to be inconvenient, and if it was something that could be printed that could be a slightly different design that would allow you to add them on after the fact, be kind of interested in that.
Yeah, the ones that I've got are going to be difficult for that reason, and there'd be no reason why you couldn't, you know, I don't know how much that they would spread if you were to just cut a slit in them. You know, a little material would be gone too, but if you were to just, you know, cut them, would you be able to spread them enough to snap them over the wire? You know, now if you were to make two cuts and make a little relief, you certainly could, and then use something like a small tie wrap to secure them. You could do something like that. I'm sure it'd be easy enough to do, even if you had to, you know, especially if you had like a bandsaw. You know, you could just lay them on the surface and just kind of go, you know, and just cut a little slit in the end.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, kind of slit, slit from, say, the top, if you were orienting the thing from the, you know, up and down, you know, kind of slit partway through the top, and then, so you'd have, like, two loops at that point, and on the left loop, you'd cut a little slot on one side, and on the other one, you'd go around the other side and cut a little slot on the other side. So you'd have to, you know, kind of purposefully work it back and forth a little bit to slip it on the wire, but then once it was hanging there, it'd be, like, nearly impossible for it to unslip itself, undo itself, if that makes sense. Again, in my head, that was kind of how I was thinking something like that could be either modified that or just, you know, think it that way, you know, for a future one or something.
Well, one of the suggestions I saw for spreaders, utilize this plumber's plastic tubing. I forget what it's called. It's got a name. And they use short lengths of this plastic tubing plumbers use. And sufficiently rigid to do the job without getting into, you know, the diameters of PVC pipe. You know, it's much, much smaller diameter. You know, something like that, you know, with just about anything, you know, you could just literally drill a hole and, you know, in the center, you know, the center ones, the ones that are between the ends would have to have two holes, right? But the end ones would just have to have one hole, and then you could use tie wraps, you know, little baby tie wraps. That would be a way to do it, too, and you wouldn't have to have anything fabricated at all, but you'd have to cut them all, you know, and then drill the holes, so having a little drill press would be real handy.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways to... I thought about that, too. Yeah, a little PVC or the plumber's pipe, you know, either PEX, you know, the red or the blue or the whatever. That would be fine. It would be easily malleable. It's really lightweight. It'd be strong enough to, you know, just kind of hold a little piece of wire in place. And a quick little tie wrap would just... you know, one on one side and one on the other, but just keep it from sliding around, which is all you need. I was just thinking of something as elegant and sophisticated as the spacers that you have are really kind of nice.
PEX, that's what I was looking for. I couldn't remember the name. Yeah, I saw somebody else that was using PEX. And that's actually what I was going to do, but then I saw those other ones, and Davey and had them printed up for me, so. And I have yet to get them up here. It's terrible. We had that really warm stretch. Remember back in February, we had this unseasonably warm weather? And I got the antenna down and did a bunch of work on it, got it up and all that. And I haven't done anything since, so I was going to do it this weekend. But then again, I lost all of March and April, you know, to repeater projects. Every Saturday and Sunday I was out doing work on this. So, you know, I lost a couple of months of any free time I had for radio was burnt up on that. So, it's not like I wasn't doing anything. Yep, I should have done it today. Should have brought it down. My plan was to bring it down, get it all stretched out, measured, you know, measure it off and, you know, get everything back up in the air, all fanned out and all that good stuff. In the end, I don't even know if I needed the 20, you know, 80 and 40 was really the goal. 20 was like, you know, why not? In the end, I really don't know if that was the wise choice. That might cut that one a little shorter, make it ideal for 17. That might be something I want to do. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say the 80-40-20 is a good combo. I think if you force feed that on 17 meters, it's the 80 meter dipole that's you know, doing the work there. I think there's a quasi natural resonance there. You know, it's a funky pattern, but. But I would not discount the 20 meters. But if you need help, you know, just an extra set of hands or something, a nice day, I may be able to pop by and help out, and I'd be happy to do so. Get the spreaders on there, get things measured, and get it back up. I know it's hard to get excited about HF in the middle of summer when everything's noisy, but the summer doesn't last forever.
Yep, and, get, you know, you get it up now for later, for the winter months. I want a loop, I really do, but I got to get some supports up. I'm not big on the whole idea of trees. My trees are all funky. If I had some good solid ones, you know, I'd probably consider it. And I know my neighbor would let me go into their trees, and boy, I'll tell you what, I could put up a 160 loop with their trees outside of my yard, you know, because, you know, then he'd be talking, I'd have at least 200 in every direction.
That's a lot of wire. That's a lot of antenna. Yeah, that would be very cool if you could do that. I'm happy to try to help if you get that conversation going. That'd be a fun one to do.
I forget, what do you need for a loop on 160? Is it 4 something? Or is it 5? I think it's 4 something, isn't it?
Just under 5. It's about 480. If you figure 120 aside, which is approximately, I think it might be just slightly less than that. But yeah, figure 120 aside, give or take, probably take a little. Because that's about that's basically an 80-meter dipole. So 66 on the side is a full-width 80-meter loop. So 125, 130 aside is a 160 full-wave loop. That's a lot of wire.
Hell, I could do that without the neighbor. But the neighbor's got the cool trees in the perfect position. So that's the reason I go up into their trees, is just because of the position, how big they are. So... but that's dreaming. I have been collecting TV tower. Whenever I find like cheap TV tower, cheap or free, I grab it. And I wouldn't mind getting 30 foot of it up in a couple of different key points halfway back in the woods. You know, maybe 10 foot of mast sticking out of it. Just, you know, I figure 40 is the magic number. If I could get an 80 meter loop up at 40 foot all the way around, I think that'd play pretty well.
That would probably do pretty well. I remember there were some contest guys that had done some math on, you know, the what's the best sweepstakes antenna, you know, an antenna that's going to give you the best domestic pattern. And they concluded on 80 meters that a full-wave, a full-size dipole, you know, half-wave dipole, hanging about 30 to 40 feet, it was the best sweepstakes antenna, because it basically had a pattern that was about the shape of a light bulb. You know, it was kind of up and out every direction. It was low enough where you got performance off the end, and it was, you know, high enough where you still had kind of a sort of a lobe on the off the broadside. And, you know, like, the idea was is that, you know, you'd have a good enough pattern, you know, from the East Coast to the Rockies. And that was the goal. And a full-size 80-meter dipole, you know, hanging about 35 to 40 feet was the answer to that. Oriented just about any direction, it didn't really matter. And that's kind of right. Mine's up a little higher than that, but for the most part, it's not really high enough to have a great pattern. And I'm real happy with its performance. It works where it needs to. It's loud where it needs to be, which is kind of like straight up and everywhere else.
Yep, well, I'm going to have to get on something, that's for sure. On another note, I've got Thursday off. I've got some doctor appointments. I've got to dance around. But
Thursdays off, maybe game for Covfefe or lunch or something, who knows. Have to work around a couple of doctor's appointments. Also, we'll have to do the breakfast thing out your guys' way again. That was okay. I could see us doing something like that. So we talked about that in the past. We should do that more regularly. So maybe this weekend. This weekend we were back over here. Maybe next weekend we alternate. Go up there somewhere.
Yep, I'm game to heck, Andy. Saturdays and Sundays for sure. I know that's kind of an odd day for early breakfast, but I can probably usually do Saturday, you know, especially if it's on the early side. You know, the ones I use, not bad. I can get there. It's just a matter of what am I doing afterwards. The one here was just nice and convenient, especially to get to Steve there, too. Don't leave it a few, K8DD.
WFU. Yep. No, there's a lot out that way, and I'm not particularly, you know, this place here, it's close, convenient, and they can accommodate the crowd, but there's a lot out that way that I wouldn't mind trying to, so. Oh, man. So, definitely be interested in doing that some more. You know, and then somebody's got to pick him up with his, eye thing going on, so nice to keep it out that way so any one of us could do that, not put the burden just on you, for instance. But I'm good with Sundays. I mean, you know, I know Steve's up early. I'm up early. You say early's good, and Sundays, you know, no big deal for me. I'm up just as early on Sunday as I am on any other day, so that could work too. But I am going to get out of here before it becomes midnight, and I regret being up.
Yeah, Sunday's an option. And, I'm very happy to help out as far as picking up, dropping off. All right, yeah, I should get inside, too. I wrap up out here and head in and see what there is to do before heading to bed. Again, busy day tomorrow, but nice chatting. And get that HF antenna going. We'll get out there, we'll get the dipole down and spreaders installed and tuned up, and you'll be nice and loud. WRFU, K8DB.
Need an excuse to turn the damn radio on. Alright, catch you later. K8BB from WRFU.